An angle. Yeah, there's plenty of angles.
I get the feeling they're all hyped.
Well, the consciousness that has you or itself convinced of something is counterfeit. So if you're already on the far end of that con, you're too late. Angles won't work because they are just part of the con.
So it seems.
Yeah.
Yet there's certain frustration in this continuing charade, you know,
well,
to be a little dramatic about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, dangling about like a puppet without access to the strings. can be annoying. Imagery, sensation, mentation, where you've been, where you are, where you're going. Negotiating with the con artist 24/7 and coming up empty-handed. Yeah, it's both frustrating and it has a certain allure. Ways to keep busy, things to do, stay in the game, a place to go, a place to leave.
Definitely has an allure because I know I keep going back to it constantly, continuously.
Well, it's a good con.
But I also feel the weariness of it all.
Yes.
So, yes, I go back constantly and continuously, and I feel the weirdness, the ridiculosity.
It is a high degree of ridiculosity. Yeah. Well, it's talking heads, no matter where you turn.
And, you know, like, being even an adrenaline junkie, I don't think it would work. I mean, I don't think there's anything that's going to drive me to enough distraction. I'm not that distractible anymore, and that's good and it's bad.
Well, sure, yeah, you have to cope skillfully with your hormonal profile. You know, you could say that you're on auto-renunciation.
Auto-renunciation? That's what you said.
Yeah. Renouncing things willfully, behaviorally, with intent, is part of the con. Auto-renunciation is no actual renouncing. Because the play of subjectivity and objectivity, subjectification and objectification, empties out of its own accord. One wants an angle or cultivates angling as a response to some kind of discomfort, some kind of stress, some kind of insufficiency. And so one is always too late. To be in pursuit of remedy of any kind is too late. You're already downstream in the con.
That's not going to turn you around and get you upstream. It might just ameliorate the harsher part of the symptoms.
From time to time, there's no guarantee of success. Angling seems to bear fruit. But it's not all that satisfactory. Because it's fleeting. And we have a problem with fleeting, presuming ourselves to be of the nature of continuity. We have a problem with fleeting. I mean, even the skillful means applied by generationally trained Vipassana practitioners and their ilk easily get caught in the con and turn toward various forms of ritual. Ritualistic behavior, ritualistic Buddhism, ritualistic deconstruction, ritualistic concentration, all of which have their effects but are unsatisfying. That's why you can see folks that have been around these Vipassana circles for a while, you know, start to branch away. They want more solace than they're getting from, you know, lengthy retreats, from extended mindfulness. So they run to Tibetans typically.
Well, I guess they go one way or the other, right? Either they fail.
Yeah.
And they just become part of the matrix.
Yeah. And soon they'll be abandoning the Tibetans. The talking heads of Dzogchen.
I love the philosophy, you know.
Sure.
It can capture you quite nicely.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, then it becomes just another Deepak Chopra book on tape. Yeah. And then hopefully it doesn't get stuck in your CD player. That'd be a hell realm.
That would be a hell realm. That would be the bad place.
That would clearly be the bad place, not the good place. So even considering oneself from the point of view of, you know, call it spiritual inquiry, which is silly. But what do you piece together from the ether to come up with a cogent, believable self-accusation. One goes effortlessly to memory, thought, preference, attraction and aversion, context.
We've been trained to give elevator speeches, assembling some of the high points from our...
Right.
You know.
So I can tell you or anyone else all about me on demand, none of which is true, but I can promote. So we become accustomed, habituated to superficial self-promotion, not merely socially or professionally or in relationship, but where it really hurts is internally.
We're believing it. Yeah, I know.
So I am the product, the involuntary product of a ruse, presumably not accusationally or accusatorially, of my own making. Now what? You know, to study it, which is one way that Vipassana and similar tools can be used. To study and become presently vitally affectionate with the involuntary nature of your own arising, of your own arousal, of your own story, then you see clearly, perhaps devastatingly, what a ruse it is, which means what a ruse you are, what a ruse I am, what a ruse this, all of this is. And then I presume that I am capable of making accurate self-accusations about the way I feel, what I think, what has happened, is happening, may happen to me. So I am bound in etheric self-referencing, all of which is pathetically superficial. And now I go in search of angles or remedies to respond to what I've found, which is just shameful self-promotion.
The self-reflective habit is tenacious, you know. And it's that same space that...
Yes. The radiant nature of so-called present experiencing is self-reflective, you could say by design, embeddedly so. And so one's consciousness, the presentation, inhabitation of consciousness is similarly radiant and self-reflective, you know, self-consumed, self-referencing. Now that might be perfectly fine if we learned how to rest in the impossibility of it, rather than make our home in the narrative. By signing up to the narrative, we drive ourselves insane. So if there's an angle to play, shift one's attention from narrative to the impossibility. Because the impossibility itself is streamingly novel and strange, ubiquitous in its mirth. But that sensitivity requires, let's just say, non-dual appreciation, non-dual apperception, which is what this already is. But if we're struggling with the narrative, which is the imagination of ourselves, we're likely to merely continue the inertia of that narrative, which is the apparent continuity of self-identity, how things have been, how they are now, how they may be, positively, negatively, neutrally, and then what I should do to think and feel about things, so that I, whatever that is, could reach some sanguinity, peace of mind, devotional fervor, enlightenment, maybe. Too late. We've misinterpreted and misappropriated presence for our own purposes. And that's not very satisfying.
Well, I guess when you say our own, that right there it tells you that it's as if we own something. You know, it's as if we possess something.
Yes.
And that's the duplicitous nature of it.
Yes. We come into possession, possessiveness, faster than we imagine. Conscious contact itself, which is itself with itself, right? Awareness, consciousness, phenomenon, sensory receipt, narrative, is not many things. It's only one thing if it's anything, and that's what it does. Yeah. So what chance do we have? We're the product of, you know, formidable powers.
Yeah, and it would surprise one to wonder if we are barking up this wrong tree. You know, we're not meant for this.
Good point. Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, you see the fallacy of it all. You see the self-referencing aspect of it.
Yes.
And you have underlying, and it's so hard to talk about because everything, you know, the personal pronouns are the toughest, you know. I don't know what they mean. 99.99% of the time, it's just, you know, some reference to a thought, a meme, a feeling, a body.
The reference is referencing prior reference. It's gone so far afield from the naked irrefutability that the ending up in a canoe in an etheric stream of self is just self-referencing, referencing, former referencing. it's very unsatisfactory.
Well, there's a loss of connection.
There is. Yes.
It's too many layers.
Yeah. You're tumbling through multiple holodecks. Imagining that somewhere you can slow the tumbling down and apprehend the real, but you can't. We're too deep, neck deep in holodecks. That's how we construct, you know, the imagination of the world. The, you know, profound and extinction-driven power of human cooperation, so that you move a whole bunch of opposable thumbs and neocortices toward an apparently similar goal. You know, now we can build skyscrapers, giant ships, perhaps sail men to the moon, or at least a convincing set, and conduct genocide with aplomb. We're dangerous. To whom? Well, to ourselves, to the Gaic field, to the creatures sentient and otherwise that we share the biosphere with. And rude and stupid. Okay. It was a good shot. As experiments go, it wasn't half bad. It wasn't meant, you know, to go on and on and on in some kind of Gandharvadesh.
I wonder what version we're up to.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to check inside your ear to see what clone marking you have.
That's right.
I mean, like, you know, am I like clone number 16?
Right.
Two million and 16? You know,
okay.
Am I one?
Yeah, I don't know.
So is present experience frustrating, insufficient, restless, angst-ridden, pleasant, abundant?
Drab.
Drab.
Constant, unrelenting.
Drab.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Too often it is. I'll put it that way.
Yes.
Too often.
Yes. And that drabness is, you know, we can call it the consequence of, but that might be too serious. The drabness is related to familiarity.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Because it feels like a lack of novelty.
Yes.
Lack of appreciation of the novelty that there is.
Right. And we're looking for novelty trained, you could say, educated, right, to look for and cultivate novelty at a, may I say, an obtuse,
yes,
level.
Like a hammer, a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Of novelty.
Yeah, that's right.
I've tuned out from the small stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, if you go to a Freudian psychotherapist, you do psychotherapy. If you go to a primal scream therapist, you do a lot of screaming, right? If you go to an orthopedist, they want to do surgery. If you go to a chiropodist, they want to chiropodize you. If you go to mind, what do you think you're going to get? Just a sack of lies.
A lot of mentation.
But that's right. At an obtuse level. So we habitually go to what we call mind for evidence, arbitration, security, opinions, and context and content. So we remain obtuse because mind is a referential system. It's a broadcast reference. So why go to it?
Yeah.
By habit, everyone goes to mind.
To me, I don't feel like I go to mind so much for learning the ways of things, although sometimes in desperation I'll grab a Deepak Chopra tape or something like that.
Sure, in desperation.
But those times don't happen too often anymore.
Yes.
I go for the novelty, and I'm always disappointed if I can't get novelty out there, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Right. So that's what, you know, that's what, let's just say, spiritual, Gnostic, alchemy, the world over, has always been, is the training in the apperception of novelty. And appreciating it that way is, dare I say, lovely. Because you can really dispense with all of the lies and authoritarianism of all of the cosmologies that keep sincere and insincere people enslaved by misanthropic and misogynistic religious banality.
Yeah,
so when the training, one understands the adventure, and the training is the apperception of novelty, then our strategies, practices, purifications, what have you, shift. Then you fall down or through the rabbit hole, and the pressure and urgency of the external world releases you. And then the novelty is discovered, you know, as the shimmering fruition of consciousness itself. It's relaxed from the pressure of subjectification and objectification, and becomes more finely tuned as any adept becomes. So that's, you know, you could say the mechanical aspect of embarking on a Gnostic alchemical journey to discover the nourishing presence of genuine novelty.
I would think that along with that, one would appreciate the understanding that people are people, they're going to do dumbass things, and
seems that way.
You just look at things a bit differently. You don't try to engage on that level, but it does seem that no matter what, there's this drawing in, and I'm not sure what it is. I can't speak from experience that much, but it does seem like sometimes you can sort of get enmeshed before you even realize it.
Enmeshment always occurs before you realize it. Otherwise, one would be able to avoid it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's our new 12-step group, enmeshment avoidance.
But I would hope for a certain sanguinity, but I don't know. Is there, I mean, it sounds like, from as you speak, there is a certain sanguinity. Not that it is rock steady and pervasive, let's say, but because we are actually in the continuing a new human form and all that jazz.
Well, the human form and the apparent continuity of human form is appearing apparitionally on top of rock steady. But it's a question of, you know, the mutagenic nature of consciousness to shift from one set of loyalties to another, so that what appears as the folly of humans and the always late to the party tendency toward enmeshment is no longer binding. Which can be very disorienting. Because in one's rhythm and routine, there's the impossibility of it all. The inertia of one's personal consciousness gets replaced by novelty. I mean, that's where this goes. You know, how far one gets is like, okay. You know, I mean, Swami Nityananda didn't intend to get that far. I don't think.
We don't have personal control.
I don't think so. When if your consciousness clock is wiped clean from self, the loop of self-referencing, then all of these, you know, conversations and observations that we can make about what humans are or aren't become absolutely moot. Because one can't wiggle free from the texture of novelty, which is immersive, which is obliterative. One doesn't remain as the enjoyer of the fruits of your spiritual path. No, it's immersive and obliterative. So the frames of reference that appear to keep us glued together as the experiencer, the narrator, the narratee, that shit's gone. I mean, it can still function, of course, if it needs to. But just like, you know, your knees start to give out and your feet start to give out, well, so does one's compulsion as a human gives out. And then this, whatever this is, reveals itself more deeply, more fully, more intimidatingly. When it does, with whatever depth it appears, for however long, you know, it captures your attention. I mean, you certainly wouldn't turn into an Andy Cohen if you could help it, or a Bentinho Massaro if you could help it. Why would you want to go in the direction of narcissistic impoverishment?
and there's, you know, no thinking of one person in particular. Very, I mean, I would like to say very genuine person. And she gets trapped in this stuff. I'm crazy.
Well, sure.
She's been around the block, but she's...
You know, approval-seeking, validation-seeking, placing oneself before, taking a knee to authority, you know, looking for maternal and paternal comfort.
Yeah, there's a lot of human...
It has such momentum.
Yeah.
And so the spiritual magicians that make a good living, well, they exploit that momentum.
What gets me is how naturally they seem to do it.
They're a product of it.
Yes, so natural.
Well, you know, it's seductive, right? If you're prone to speaking to audiences, capturing their attention, adulation, adoration, confidence, if you see evidence of superficial catharsis occurring, you start to think you are someone. You know, you've got something. Yeah, why not build an institution, self-celebritize, and laugh all the way to the bank? That these kinds of celebrities still pop up as frequently as they do is more a barometer of the stupidity of their constituency than it is anything else.
You know what I find very interesting is when an Eckhart Tolle... let's call it commercial, appears on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the comments, there's a lot different than they used to be. The comments are all like...
They're starting to get a little weary.
$6? What the hell is he doing with all this money? You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of that.
That's good
to know. I mean, most of the comments are negative.
Uh-huh.
It's remarkable.
Oh, good. Well, so that's good. For the wrong reason, of course, but
yeah.
We'll take what we can. Yeah. I'm kind of fond of speaking about and speaking in terms that usurp the familiar means and methods of human identification. And face it, you know, people that are looking for maternal or paternalistic comfort, validation, spiritual belonging, they are not interested in, right? The corrosion of their own pride.
No, I would never put up. And that's why you're dangerous.
Well, I'm easily swatted away like any fly is. This is dangerous.
Yeah.
You know. I got nothing.
Well, that's something that I've heard, and so I like to say that over and so.
You know, tapping on the window of realization is dangerous. You know, a pebble here and a pebble there. We're conditioned to loop around in the pattern or path of discomfort and resolution, discomfort, resolution, discomfort, resolution. You know, it's not just a biologic homeostasis. It also appears as a rhythm of mind, a rhythm of identity, a rhythm of sensation, a rhythm of emotion. So we would like to think that, you know, some kind of spiritual fruition improves our capacity to negotiate successfully with discomfort and then return to what we imagine to be a preferred condition of ease or peace or dispassion, what have you. But that's not what happens.
You give up on that train. You don't.
You get wiped clean from the myth of discomfort and comfort.
You give up on the efforts at amelioration.
Well, yes, because the pride of one's own being is softened sufficiently. And now you become a more confident child of novelty.
I just saw the ending of 2001 last night. It was It was on. It was at the end. I thought perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
And that is the image that came up. Totally open, eyes wide open, child, neophyte, being. There's not a point to be made, I guess, you know. So, you know, why stake a claim?
Yeah, I mean, that becomes clearer and clearer. Not through, mental means, not through processing. Because processing always, right, conjures the processor, the processee. It's more space-time. Processing is sensuality in space-time, identity in space-time. And it's good at what it does. But here's the same body of evidence. What needs to be processed? When the processing ceases of its own nature and novelty is revealed, there's no claim. Aliens can fuck off. Ascended masters can fuck off. The Buddha can fuck off. And so, you know, these so-called popular spiritual circles where exotic information is given is so wrong. It so misses the point.
And that's pretty much what you find anywhere, everywhere.
Absolutely. You find banal authoritarianism everywhere you turn. Yep.
you even call this a spiritual approach or a spiritual way? I mean, certainly it's a bit of a different construct of path, or it's not the pathless way or something like that, but it all seems, for lack of a better term, to be put in the category of spiritual.
Well, you know, that's kind of an eye of the beholder thing. I mean, spirituality is for humans.
Yeah.
So both humans and spirituality can just fuck off.
Yeah, okay.
You know, if one's aim is unencumbered sovereignty, then you don't want to be the product of anyone else's idea. You don't want to be the product of your own idea.
It's so audacious. And I think that people sense that audacity.
Yes, it is.
I mean, they if they don't actually hear it, which they probably will anyway, but they certainly sense it on some level. It's like, oh no, that's sacrilegious. That's gone too far.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, just to be poetic about it, I don't think anybody wakes up if they're unwilling to go too far. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're not willing to go too far, then, you know, one will remain, right? A product of this. That can't be good. You know, then Nirsagadatta comes flooding in, and Bart Marshall comes flooding in, and Paul Hederman comes flooding in, and shit that Peter Brown has said comes flooding in, and you think these guys are actually saying worthwhile shit.
I want to write it down.
Yeah, you want to write it down, and then you want to
have one quote for every
day. Deconstruct it, and then put it on a fucking calendar, and, you know. You see, this is the fetishization of present experience, which is synonymous with the allure of space-time, which is synonymous with one's sense of individuation. The whole thing is a composite of misappropriation. And spirituality is exactly that. It's a misappropriation.
Always settles somehow. Seems.
I mean, you know, interesting characters, whether they are war criminals or saints, are interesting characters. You know, and we have the tendency to mimic. Very quickly, mimic and fetishize very quickly. So we don't know who or what we are or who or what this is at all. But nobody wants to get jiggy with that. Instead, we'll do anything over and over and over again.
Just so we have an identity that we can rely on.
To manufacture a fallacious identity and then complain about it to the grave. It comes out of nowhere. And yet we insist that, you know, all of the victimization is legitimate. I mean, we're playing in a, you know, playing around in a potent erotic field that has procreation, you know, on its dance card. So shit happens, you know. Mucosal impulses are all over the place. I don't care what level of the playing field you're at, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it's love is a mess. civilization is a mess.
Okay. Yeah, humans are, it's a bad touch to be touched by a human.
You know, if we're taking skillful advantage of our inherently divine capacities, why do I want to listen to Sam Harris? Shut the fuck up, Sam. You know, like, why would I want to listen to Deepak Chopra?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, Deepak. You know, if you're really interested, if one is really interested in, you know, a celebration, whether it's jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga, if one's really interested in a celebration of your own innate divine capacities, who are you going to listen to?
Somebody else.
You can't. You got to stop listening to everybody else. You got to find out what this is for yourself.
So true.
I mean, otherwise, because what's anyone going to tell you? Just bullshit. I mean, you know, we've been talking about this shit for a couple years now, right? I mean, I've done a lot of talking. It means nothing. I mean, it's recorded. You know, there's YouTube, there's Facebook. I mean, you can read shit and listen to shit or watch shit if you want to do that kind of shit, but don't. Arousal is useful, right? Arousal is useful. Discovery is useful. Having your clock cleaned is useful. But you don't want to become a celebrant of someone else's, quote, body of work. Fuck them.
Hero worship.
It's, you know, Philadelphia was into it really big today.
Yes, right? I haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah, but at least it's team worship, you know, as opposed to one superstar, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Was it pretty wild down there?
I just saw some photos of, and
bigger crowd than the Pope got.
Beady heads, and I thought to myself, if I was number 8 million person and had to go to the bathroom, what would I do?
Yeah. Oh, jeez, that's something I can
hold it.
Oh yeah, it was a pretty wild gathering.
Well, 3 or 4 in the morning, we're waiting for holding spots.
It probably smelled like urine there too.
Probably. Just a big crush of human puppy-like hero worship. Okay. Scares the shit out of you.
Yeah, I was kind of pleased to respond. That lady asked me a question about meditation on the WDVR.
I wanted to tune into that. How do I...
89.7, you could stream it online. But anyhow, she was saying, well, how could somebody, you know, learn about that? Is there someone that teaches? I said, no. I said, we come and we sit together, and then there's a time for sharing. And if in the sharing somebody says something that might be helpful or insightful to another, then that's where it happens. I said, but there's no expert.
We don't do meditation instruction, right?
No, there's plenty of people that do, and to me, it's immediately confining.
Yeah.
Early, although when I was younger, you want to grab a hold of something, right? Gaze at a candle.
Yeah.
Have a procedure, you know, develop concentration. But then after a while, it's it can get in the way.
False leader.
Well, yeah, once you get something rolling, then you kind of let go. And kind of like that, you know, those Coleman lanterns. I mean, it's this very thin thing that gets super, super bright.
But
if you touch it, it falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's like that. If you mess with it too much, it's going to fall apart. And all you'll have is a bunch of gas without any light.
And it'll stink.
That's right.
And it'll explode.
So, yeah, so I'm glad in a way that somehow to preserve the open center seems to be where I like to hang. And I like this.
in that, you know, a bunch of people can sit and escape into La La Land in that quiet and no one would know. But with some active dialogue, you know, right away, like you said. What did you say something about, you know, evocative or discussion can reveal the hooks and the buttons, at least that's what I would call them. Mm-hmm. And then you really find out how grounded, how centered, you know, how at peace or how easily ruffled. And I don't even mind being easily ruffled.
Ruffle on.
Ruffles have ridges. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Whatever being is, it's not dependent upon my ideas. It's not dependent upon my pride of ownership. It's absolutely autonomous.
It's the ruse of the personal. You know, I mean, we certainly feel that we have our own personal feelings. Feelings. I can say there's no feelings.
Yeah, there's no barrier to entry when it comes to being personified, moving into unadorned, or resting in unadorned, personifying. It's osmotic, it's instantaneous. You know, to try to dwell in one versus the other with some degree of skill or frequency for improved outcomes is like, yeah, no, don't do that. Just leave it alone. If I'm interested in deriving pleasure and or avoiding what I imagine pain to be, then I'm schizophrenic. And codependent with how consciousness, you know, expresses. Leave it alone. Be enmeshed when you're enmeshed. Be non-enmeshed when you're non-enmeshed. Don't seek for a condition to be contrary with whatever condition you might take yourself to be in. You're not in a condition.
It does seem like efforting doesn't really get anywhere. But there's something that that has legs, that's not efforting, yet still happens, and I don't know that I could ever put my finger on what the origin of that is, except for the welling up within.
Origin, schmorigin. The welling up.
Yeah.
You know, the welling up is irrefutable. The origin becomes an idea.
Story.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the grace of the grace of courageous, if I can use the qualifier, spiritual sharing is to simply abide in the welling up.
Yeah.
You don't need no experts, no cosmology, no gods, no mutant beings no teachings, nothing. Nothing at all. You don't need to resolve anything. Become better at something. To even have insight. Fuck insight. Insight is just the superficiality of a claim made. But this is nothing at all, so why would you make a claim about it? If you make claims, you're merely self-anthropomorphizing. There's no need for insight.
There is no need. It wouldn't arise, right?
I don't know. That sounds a little bit causal to me.
Yeah, but I'm not even, you know, if it's like, if it shows up, it's like, well, where'd it come from and what made it, what motivated it to come into being?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean
the welling up
is rich, right, in its nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who knows, right? Yeah, it's just the welling up. You could say it's possible that there can be a deepening appreciation, a textural maturation, a Gnostic alchemy, where there's no longer superficial orientation to the welling up. There's no longer obtuse orientation to the welling up. Just being, being, being.
Mm-hmm.
And what business is it of yours?
One thing that helped earlier this week, I was so in my head, torturing myself, second guessing.
No one better than you.
Second guessing myself. I mean, it's not often I do a funeral and then a memorial the next day.
Mm.
So it's a friend of mine's mother.
Yeah.
And I thought, that sucked. You know, I suck at this, you know. But the person assisting is so much better, you know. And it's just spinning and spinning until...
You were being a shitty minister?
Until someone asked me, they said, where do you feel it in your body? And I said, well, solar plexus, yeah. I said, oh, so why don't you just focus on that? And I put my hand on there and immediately got out of my head.
Oh.
I just felt like I'm doing now, feeling touch.
Yeah.
And... it shifted all that grasping, the need to try to understand or to correct or to wish for something different in the future or evaluate, all that crap. It just, it's still there, but it wasn't central.
Feel quietly, feel oneself quietly, and stop trying to impress yourself.
Right. Oh my God, the ego was like... They were giving her the accolades and the beautiful voice and stuff.
What am I, chopped liver?
It's like, you're not the one who died.
I'm an ordained minister.
If you die, you'll be the star for a day.
Yeah.
No, it's funny how the ego just really...
usurps that, and then you are left with, you know, physical pain. And
it was fine. It was fine.
It's so much nicer to not need... any validation.
That's right.
And to not have to leave an impression on anyone.
Yep.
It's just nicer. Here, if you want to leave something for Pebble.
Yeah. Is this an
it is. It's a vessel. It's a vessel with a pestle.
It's made for currency.
Yes.
That's right. That's how we show love. Yeah, leave that.
Just your three-digit bills.
Yeah, that's so many of those. All right, guys.
All right, Jamie. It's been real.
Right, it's,
tomorrow, Panera. Oh, yeah. Right. That's right.
All right. Fun.
Give Marie our fond regards from the Night Sky Sangha.
Okay.
For her speedy recovery.
Who?
Marie. Jamie's wife is under the weather.
Does she have that to whatever people are enjoying that's going around?
I don't know what it is. She gets it every year, though. However, on average, every year, it's a bronchitis. I don't know if it's the same as this flu that's going around or not, but it's really nasty. And, of course, it's good with me. All right, see ya.
Keep up the good work.
So, did all the rest of you go to Philly?
Is yours back?
What? Oh my gosh, that hat keeps leaving me. Okay. I forgot the tin foil, so I had to wear this one.
Gotta wear some.
Yeah, that vulnerability was discovered after all that crap I was telling you about.
Mm.
There was a vulnerability in just being present with that real shitty feeling.
Ah, it hurts so good you could wake up.
And then I was able to just show up for meditation and other people started doing it too without, just by me being vulnerable, I guess. I don't know. Just this space of trust. People were emoting, you know, going deep without any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Just a vessel. It's like, gosh, maybe I need to be more of a mess more often.
It could be that authenticity is communicable.
That's the thing. When there's this thrown response to put on a face,
yeah,
you know, I'm together, I'm calm, I'm peaceful, I'm pleasant, I'm, yeah, you know, and this, it's like, well, yeah, right, yeah,
mm-hmm,
I'm feeling something else. And then when you go, boy, I'm really kind of, oh, I don't know, whew, wow. And then it's like, oh, I could, oh, maybe I could do that too, soften, you know, yeah, soften the armor. Someone had mentioned that they have this armor.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what I was, my armor was, hey, you know, I could do it better next time. I could shine better next time.
Like, uh-huh.
But you suck right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, that's a lot about personhood. Self. Self getting better.
Yeah.
And not necessary.
One is always so much happier when there's somebody more competent around.
It's really... Oh, my God.
You take it.
Yeah. Yeah, up to a point. As long as you're not kicked to the curb, you know. It's
hey,
a cold night, cold rainy night.
Well, be just charming enough to make sure you've got something to eat and, you know, some warmth.
lives.
Something about the quiet.
Well, yeah. That this is felt in the way that it's felt, when it makes no demand. I'm released from the impulse to entertain myself, released from the impulse to have to entertain someone else, you know, for what, validation, for agreement, for anything at all. And, you know, maybe that's the way that we're of most help for each other.
Yeah, so but the dream probably was a good thing to share. It said, forget the funeral, go to the race skating rink. I go to the skating rink and there's a representation of the deceased and a loved one. They look to me and a gentle kiss. And so I told him, I said, yeah, it's a good thing I showed up. I was going to end up at the skating rink. Because she didn't have any beliefs, really. So, and I said, look, if you guys, memorials are for the living. If you want a prayer, you know, we can do one. But otherwise, we good?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting because this life doesn't need a body, yet the body is animated by the life and then has all these ideas about it because it has a body. And then when the life goes out of it, what do you got?
Fewer ideas, I would imagine.
That's right. Put out a couple of eyeballs and ears and a skin layer. It's like, yeah.
Sky burial, baby.
The perception has got to definitely go on the light side. Wow. How many dreams or visions of awakens has to do with a body that's, you know, we call it realized, you might say, in form. Yeah, trying to impress, trying to find a place in a group that has some substance, or being invisible. And not being attached to one or the other necessarily. But as I was speaking that, that even has a thickness to it. An objective. Don't be attached.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Tal, you know, how would it show up? What would it feel like if there was no need or compulsion to be a certain way? I mean, who's doing all the criticizing that I'm suffering from? You know, all of the comparison and all of the narrative and the accusation and the condition that I think I'm in and whether I'm impressing or not, or, you know, it's all what? It's just, right, internally, if we can say that, arising habitually, spontaneously. And yet, we're so vulnerable, in a sense, with our own narrative. You know, like the reflex or compulsion to entertain or satisfy myself with my own views of so-called reality.
And torture as well.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Intense critic.
Oh, God. It? Right. Yeah, I don't hear any criticism from here. Mm. There's no demand. Mm.
It's definitely another place where something sits. And the place that's trying to be somebody,
mm-hmm,
is one that's very familiar and well-developed.
Well-developed, yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then there's a place that doesn't have that impulse or drive to, or even reference point.
So no.
It's just not important.
That's right. Right. It's reference free.
Mm. And how can they simultaneously exist? I mean, it seemed to simultaneously exist.
Well, simultaneous, you know, is a strange...
I know there's a little time bender going on there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, simultaneity is, you know,
it's still,
it's really strange. Yeah, it is. It's dimensional, sure. And even exist. Is anything occurring, albeit simultaneously or existing at all, if it weren't for a conclusion drawn? I mean, irrefutability itself doesn't claim existence. That's, you know...
It's an interpretation layer.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, once removed.
Yeah. Yes.
The immediacy of this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very, very subtly once removed. Mm. Yeah. So without having any confidence, let's say, that I could know what simultaneity means, or that this irrefutability, just a, you know, a play on words, is even existent. I don't know.
Right. Who's the determiner of exist, not exist?
Absolutely. And with...
Is that super existence?
With that innocence, well, I'm less likely to draw a conclusion. To... You know, self-promote, self-accuse. Find out whom, why, where, what, when, how.
Information junkie.
Yeah. See, the data, the mining of etheric data, you could say, is ego. The mining of etheric data makes it appear as if there is data, and to whom data appears or can be parsed. Then right? Self-accusation and therefore self-promotion follow close on the heels of the, call it habit, you know, to mine data. You know, the burrowing impulse of the human being, not just mining data, but mining ore, you know, mining for love, mining for this, mining for that. I mean, building superstructures, right? Yeah, that's, we're made out of it, right? The mining capacity, the organizing capacity, the opposable thumb, the technology, right? The exercise of miraculous powers, the harnessing of, you know, atoms.
Yeah, shooting a Tesla roadster into the
outer space. Right. It's never ending. We don't find, you could say, lasting, not that anything need be lasting, authentic resolution through the exercise of mining. We'd like to think we will, you know, better technology, better this, better that, right? Better this, better that. But we just have, you know, fascism gone wild rather than the gracious upliftment, you know, of the species en masse.
Fascism is like a hyper identification in a way.
Well put. I think yes.
You know, when we talk about a self and then the suffering that comes from selfing in such a strong way.
Yes, yes. Right.
That's like a
organized selfing
on steroids.
Yeah, yeah. Fascism is organized selfing on steroids. Absolutely. Yeah. Oof. Whoa.
Yeah, what a phenomena.
Right.
And I guess it's really a reflection of what
it is.
The fascist within.
Yeah, it is the fascist within. Well, you know, it's fear and confusion and fractured self-loathing and conflict and, right, all of that stuff appearing quite spontaneously and miraculously from nothing at all. This great urgency is so self-effacing or self-confused that it you know, turns toward vile outlets to self-soothe. What a shame, but, you know, oh well.
Maybe something like that happens to, it does its thing to be spent. You know, and then there's a pause without looking for a pause. You know, it's like the, I don't know, Tarzan beating his chest and making really loud sounds. Whole forest bowing.
Yeah, and then snuggling up with Cheetah when no one's looking. Keeping it simple.
Yeah. Is that in a way reverses how we measure things? You know, again, success and a comfortable life versus a struggle and an angst. Sometimes a struggle and angst brings us closer to an authenticness than the comfort and relative, I'll say, relative fulfillment, relative to a presumption of this and that, here and there, self and a better one, comparison to ancestry, brother and sister, and, you know, this group or that, so forth and so on. But then having that fall away, like hitting the bottom of the bottom. And then going, wow, none of that was necessary. Life is still
You definitely want to go transhuman if you can.
I know, I'm just saying. Wait a minute. It just evaporated.
Yeah.
Before I could get a hold of it.
That's right.
Right between the grasping fingers. Selfhood.
I mean, is this more gone than it is refreshing? Is it more refreshing than it is gone? And if there is simultaneity, the refresh and the goneness are concomitant. Mm. Oh my God, is this disappearing or is it renewing? Mm. When and how is it even remotely possible that whatever you might call consciousness can be aware, stupefied by the simultaneity of the refresh and the disappearance, the absolute collapse of continuity? Mind relies on the myth of continuity through, you could say, the mechanism of memory, and maybe memory and mind are the same thing. I mean, the words are, you know, they get sketchy.
Yeah, I find that there's a strong impulse in me to be a stickler with history.
Yes.
When it comes to history of this place.
I see, sure.
And when I see the website being having new information and people making shit up, it's like, wait a minute.
Well.
I want that to be accurate.
Yeah, yeah. That's not accurate. There's something to be said about the role of the historian or the scribe in any particular tribe to keep the, you know, the so-called history true.
Right, but then what's to keep it from morphing into a desired presence? Like, I want a history of a hero, and I've just written it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Oh, yes.
You know?
And oh,
then,
yeah.
You know, and then someone else writes a different one. Before you know it, you've got Ultron, something else fighting each other.
That's right. It all goes to war.
Left and right hemispheres.
You know?
Hemispheres.
Opinions about what's true.
Yeah.
Always go to violence. Where else could they go?
If this is any consolation, one of my pastimes to calm this busy, active mind is a Q&A site.
Yeah.
It's just freewheeling. And they said it. They went the longest time without anyone flaming anyone else, and it's interesting, and there's a core that's
right.
Kind of like
it operates with adult decorum.
It does. It's like it's kind of fun. It's I'm not sure what's happening, but the self kind of it gets a little less significant. In the environment like that, and I'm not sure what's happening in that sense, because you're exposed to all kinds of things and potential triggers,
mm-hmm.
and then you go engage or not engage. You go, it's not really worth engaging on that level. I'll engage where it's just natural.
Yeah,
you know, you have fragrance of the spring flower, and you move in that direction.
Mm.
Oh, gorgeous. Whatever, the sunlight on your shoulders in the morning or as it peaks over the horizon.
Sure.
The simplest of things. Oh. I don't know where I'm going with anything. But
I've never known.
Maybe just streaming. Streaming.
We are. We're streaming and dreaming.
Oh. I guess if I were to put it in a frame that would be relief from self, and that being the place that I like to let my awareness dance with. And there's a relief from self.
Oh yeah,
self or a strong sense of self, or the one that again.
There's more creativity and more nourishment. Elasticity in space with the release of self. the welling up is nourishing rather than fitful. Yeah, right? The release of self from having to entertain or reinforce or promote or seek attention. Like, ah, oh, thank God. You know, is it resting? Are we resting in existence or are we resting in non-existence?
And the third thing comes to me, and both those ideas just sort of evaporate into the one mist.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, wordless mist.
Even where the forces of yin and yang just
sure
evaporate into each other.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a time yet.
I can feel it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. I hope it wasn't too fitfully boring for you. See you around.
Have any other joy?